58 years ago, was it a sunny day like today?
I can't remember the weather. We had 22 people. We sat in the front room of our house at 8320 Canal Road. A few children, and some of those children are here this morning. And one lady is here that was at that meeting in 1956. Down here at the home where Rosemary and I lived at 8320 Canal Road. And I tell you what, I didn't have to use this. Dexter, do you need a cane? You just had back surgery.
Yes.
Yes, okay. We'll see you get one before you leave this morning. Oh, that's all right, Paul. Thank you. If any of the children stayed in here that should have gone out for our junior church, they're down the stairs in the back over in room 2, and you're certainly welcome to take your children over there if they're that age. But a lot of things have happened in the last 58 years, and it's a blessing to be with you today and to look into some very familiar faces and some faces that aren't quite so familiar. We're very happy to have you here. I regret only one thing, and that regret is that Rosemary can't be here with me. 1 year ago yesterday, it was on this date, but 1 year ago yesterday, I did something that I never thought I would do after she'd gone through extensive surgeries, double mastectomy over a period of time, 3 or 4 other cancer surgeries. I committed, at the encouragement of my sons, Jim, Paul, their wives, I felt it was the best thing to do, to put Rosemary into hospice care. She was to spend another week or 10 days or whatever it was in the hospital, and she was to be brought home on the 5th of November. That morning, the 5th of November last year, I got the phone call about 4 o'clock in the morning. Paul had spent the night there. Thank you, Paul. If I've never said thank you, he'd spent the night with her. I had been there day and night for several days. And he said, if you want to see Mother alive, I didn't call her Mother, of course. That's what he called her. I called her Rosemary and a lot of other wonderful names. And he said, if you want to see her, you better get over here. I arrived about 5 minutes or so too late. And I wish it were possible, but it isn't. I know that life goes on. And she spent every one of the anniversary Sundays with us, and she was a tremendous boost in my ministry. I thank you very much for coming. I thank the congregation for being here today and looking at the attendance. It's been suggested we observe a 58th anniversary every Sunday now. So this will be the first, and we'll have at least 10 more in succession, so you'll want to be here at least 10 more weeks. Looking back over the years, there are so many things to talk about. And this evening, in the evening service, once again, I'll be speaking. Thank you, Pastor Paul, for the privilege of speaking at our anniversary Sunday, for inviting me to do so. I'm going to tell you how we got our name, Covenant. Have you ever wondered how the word Covenant Baptist Church came into being? Well, we'll tell you about it this evening. We'll tell you about the case of the 10 dozen or the 120 stolen donuts. You won't want to miss that. That's worth the price of admission. We'll tell you how a pulpit, not quite like this, not as ornate, we'll tell you how a pulpit ended up as kindling wood for a fire. Tonight, I'll also tell you about 3 motorcyclists. And we've got some motorcycle buffs here. And I'll tell you a personal story about 3 motorcyclists. And then we'll have a message accordingly. I was wondering when I was asked to speak at the anniversary Sunday, and I have a lot of memories of our church. And I know someone else who does. Margie Prince, would you stand up, please? Margie Prince lives out here in Rhody Drive. She was in that first meeting in our home along with her daughters, Diane and Debbie. Debbie plays the piano. Diane, she does everything around the church building, including teach a lesson, which she's done for, I was going to say 100 years, but it hasn't been that long, has it, Diane? But indeed, Margie Prince is the only other charter member of the 22 adult charter members that we had from October of 1956 to July of 1957 when we closed the charter, and she's the only other one that can be here today. I think we need to give her a hand, can't we? When she came in this morning, or when I came in, and she was sitting in class across the hall in the small auditorium, I walked up to her and I said, "Thank you, Margie, for 58 years. If it hadn't been for people like her and Rosemary and some others, there probably would be no Covenant Baptist Church today. But we're grateful for what they did and what they have done." And if you wonder what this chair is doing behind me, does anybody have to really guess? Along the way, you'll probably see me sit down like this. The old body can't do what it used to do. You know the old boy that says he can do the same at 60 or 70 as he did when he was 20? Didn't do very much when he was 20. And I got to thinking recently about all the churches that I've been privileged to go to in the last dozen years or so since Paul took over the pastorate. And the thing that I look at in every church where I go and where I've been invited, I take their bulletin and I look at their bulletin. I want to find bulletin bloopers like this one. I think you'll get a kick out of this. I really got this in a bulletin at Friendship Baptist Church. Bill Edwards, I see you back there. Mrs. Edwards, good to see you. God bless you. And I got this there at that church. Bob Johnson and Jeannie Olney were married on October 24th in the church sanctuary. This ends a friendship that began in their school years. How do you like that in your bulletin? Sarah Neal will not be able to play the piano for offertory this morning. She was sick, so her mother took her to the doctor and had her shot. Well, you talk about bulletin bloopers, huh? This Sunday, our visiting preacher, and this has meant a lot to me because I've been to a lot of churches in recent months or recent years. This Sunday, our visiting preacher is Dr. Raymond Holder. If you would like to see the other pulpit candidates, you will find them hanging in the foyer. That, my friend, is a rough church, isn't it? Don't go there. This is a spelling blooper. You'll get it when I read it to you. Pastor Bob was released from the hospital on Tuesday, but is still under the doctor's car for physical therapy. Somebody forgot to put an E in there. The annual church picnic will be held this Saturday afternoon. If it rains, it will be held in the morning. Come on. No, okay, I'm glad that finally sunk in. Barbara Harris remains in the hospital and needs blood. And Pastor Paul will appreciate this one, and so will Ted. Barbara Harris remains in the hospital and needs blood donors for more transfusions. She's also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Pastor Jack's sermons. You can get a chuckle out of these things. The sermon this morning is Women in the Church. And underneath that, the sign, closing song, Wise Up, O Men of God. And I think it might be good to maybe close with this one. Miss Charlene Mason will sing, I Will Not Pass This Way Again, giving obvious pleasure to the congregation. Bloopers are a marvelous thing. They do make you laugh. They do make you chuckle. And we trust that God can bless you this morning. I look back over the years, And I will thank the congregation for so many things that you have done. The blessing that you were not only to me, but also to Rosemary and our family all these many years. We've seen a lot of changes. A lot of things have changed in the last 58 years. And M59, when we came here, you know, that's that 6 or 8 lane monstrosity over here north of us, about a long block. M59 was 2 lanes. It was an old dilapidated road. You could come drive from Mount Clemens to Utica on M59 and you might not pass a single car. That's fact. That's not a fib. That's not just preacher story. And when you got to Utica, just across Van Dyke, there was a park right there. There was a park. It was a little triangle park. And you had to turn right on Cass Avenue into Utica, and you went a quarter block, and then you had to make a turn on Auburn Road. All M59 roads, traffic went through Utica. And you turn left on Auburn Road, and you followed Auburn Road all the way to Pontiac. There was no M59 otherwise. M53, as we know it over here beside the church building, wasn't there. That was just farmland. M53 was Van Dyke going through Utica going north. It was a different road. I could cite any number of roads like 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26-mile roads. They were all dirt roads. Clinton River Road over here, just a short distance away. Clinton River Road was a dirt road from just east of Van Dyke all the way to Mount Clemens. You can't imagine that today, can you? When Neil and Phyllis Jackson lived over there and we met them in house-to-house canvas work, they lived on Clinton River Road. It was a dirt road. You could drive east along Canal Road and you could get to Shaner and there were no stoplights or no stop signs. Shaner was an old, dilapidated two-lane road. You could drive to Hayes. There was that little dog leg where you have to take on Sal Road. It was straight through to Hayes. And there were no stop signs or stoplights, and Hayes was a dirt road. If you could turn the clock back 58 years, you could get to Shaner, you could get over to Garfield, and it was the same thing. That's how much this has changed. Whatever street you live on probably was part of a farm. I saw Dan and his family come in. They live over here on Leslie Drive, just across the street from where I live. Thank you, Dan, for being here. And Leslie Drive was a dirt road, and this was property that and Dresden Village and Ventnor Manor, if you live in any of those areas, they were owned by a woman who was a very fine Methodist lady, and she sold some of that property later on, but that was all farmland. Where we're sitting here, this is part of the property of the man who and his wife who lived in this little house right over here, Orville Smith and his wife, Frances. And they owned this 20 acres or so. And the area right out here behind them, which is all trees, that was farmland. And that was corn or oats, depending on the summer. In 1957, after we'd been here about a year, I was on my way to Mount Clemens. There were no hospitals in Sterling Heights as we know them today. You say, well, what about Ford Hospital? It wasn't there. Before it was Ford's, it was St. Joseph, and before that, it was in Mount Clemens. And I was on my way to Mount Clemens to see somebody, and I stopped at the house next door. I introduced myself to the Smiths, and I said, I wonder if you're interested in selling any property. Initially, he said, no, not really. My wife and I have lived here for a lot of years. He said, we'll probably die here. But anyway, in a phone call back to him in a day or two, he said, why don't you stop by and we can talk about it. To make a long story short, he said, we'll sell the property. We'll sell you 3 acres for $9,000. $9,000 might have been $3 million for us. But he called in a day or two and said, we'll sell it for $7,500. And we made a contract with them, a contract offer, and we bought this property here, this building, and I'll tell you more about it this evening. And we bought 3 acres of ground for $7,500. We raised $500. Don't ask me how we did it. We only had 20-some people. We raised $500, and the contract was called us to make $70 a month payments until it was paid off, the balance of $7,000. Well, needless to say, it was taken care of sooner than that. Sterling Heights at that time wasn't Sterling Heights. It was Sterling Township. But we're sophisticated now. We're Sterling Heights, so we got to put our hands up here on our, you know, lapels. We became a city in 1968. When we bought this property in Sterling Township, there were less than 8,000 people that lived in this entire township. There were about 1,400 or 1,500 that lived in Utica. And in Shelby Township, there were about 6,000 that lived in Shelby Township. It's still called Shelby Township. And most of the people, perhaps I shouldn't say most, but maybe at least half of the people there had outhouses. And if you don't know what an outhouse is, how many of you do know what an outhouse is? Would you? Okay, you who don't know, you ask some of the people who have their hands raised. And most of them had a pump in their sink, a pitcher pump, and a for water. There were a few who had running water. That's how dramatically the area has changed in the last 58 years. When you think about it, there have been a lot of changes. I've changed. I was thinking a little bit ago, I know at the end of the service, the pastor is probably going to ask me to go out in the back and stand in the back, right? Go to the back. Well, 58 years ago, there was no building here, but I could have made that hop, skip, and a jump in about 3 seconds. Today, when I get ready to go back there, you may as well sit down and rest a while because it's going to take me 15 minutes to get there. Life is just so different now from what it was, humanly speaking. I do use this. That's not to ward off the enemy. That's just to help me get around. Back surgeries. Some of you know, I used to be 6'2", but now I'm 4'7". But I use this to help get around. And it is an assistance. A lot of things have changed. And some of you have been alive for 58 years, and you've seen a lot of changes. I'm going to tell you something, though, as I look back and think about this. Now the church started in the home down here on Canal, 8320 Canal, the front room of that house. We started with a few people. We first met on Sunday, October 28th of 1956. But for a short time, we also met at the Utica Heights Community Hall on Sundays. And we were there for about 5 or 6 months, and then we were able to rent the Wiley School, and we met in the larger room. I don't know what they call it today, but we met there for about 3 years on Sundays. For that 3 year period of time, we met on Wednesday night in our home. We moved to 5085. Is that the right address? 5085 Auburn Road at the corner of the Big Bend. They called it Dead Man's Curve in those days. It was part of M59, and cars would take the turn at 70 miles an hour, even though the speed limit was only about 40 or 45. At the corner of Auburn Road and Woodall, my wife, at her insistence, committed to have the Wednesday night Bible study Wednesday evening, every evening for 3 years. You tried that sometimes, ladies. We should tip our hat to her. And we had Wednesday night Bible study for 3 years. And during that time, we bought this property and we built the first building next door. A lot of things have happened. We've seen the change. Well, today I'm going to take a few minutes and tell you some things that haven't changed. I'm going to ask if you turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Now, that's not too hard to find. It's the first book in the Bible. If you don't have a Bible with you, you might find one in the rack in front of you. Genesis chapter 1, if you will. I'm going to tell you some things in the next few minutes that haven't changed. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of waters. If you were to read the first chapter and take the time to read it, and I would encourage you to do it, if you were to read the first chapter, you would find that on day one, God created the light. Can you imagine a world without light? On day two, God created the firmament, the expanse between the waters and the earth and the sky. On the third day in Genesis 1, you'll find that God created grass, trees, fruit trees. What a wonderful blessing. And isn't Michigan a beautiful place in the fall of the year? Later on in November and December and January, we may not like the white color, but the plain fact of the matter is snow is a wonderful thing for some people. I don't particularly care for it. And day four, God created the sun and the moon. God's blessings upon us. Day five, God put the fish in the seas and the fowl in the air. On day six, God created animals and man. And that's a story we have preached for 58 years. This is a hand of God at work. God, who is the eternal, everlasting designer of the earth. The God of creation, he hasn't changed. Pastor Paul preaches about him every week. Proclaims and tells a story. And before he started preaching about the Lord and all of his wonderful grace a dozen years ago, yours truly had the privilege of doing that. When I look back and see what God has done, God hasn't changed. Everything about us has changed. Everything in our area changes. The streets, the roads. You name the street you were on, probably it was a dirt road. You were living on a dirt road 58 years ago, probably. And as I think about God's love for us, that hasn't changed. Would you take your Bible, please, and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3. Easy to find. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 3. It's a story of Jesus and Nicodemus. It's a marvelous story. It's the same today as it was when it happened over 2,000 years ago. It's the same today as when we were preaching it 58 years ago. We haven't changed in the proclamation of the telling of the story of Christ. I know a lot of churches have changed. I know a lot of things have changed in churches. Unfortunately, a lot of things have changed in a lot of Baptist churches. We're Baptists by conviction. We're called Covenant Baptist Church by conviction. The story of Christ is told. The story of Christ is given. God has a plan of salvation. He has a plan for you. If I were to ask this question, if you don't snicker, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Have you been born again by the blessings of Christ? I'm not asking if you were baptized. I'm not asking you if you have your name on a church roll somewhere. Do you believe in Christ? See, in John 3 and verse 16, notice these wonderful words. I imagine just about everybody in this auditorium could stand up and quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Oh, it's a marvelous, wonderful scripture. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." When you look at this, this is a story of whosoever. That whosoever is Ted Madonna. You know, I don't doubt one little bit as to where my wife is. I know she's gone to a far better place. Not only because we sat and read the Bible together, we prayed together. And not only because we prayed together, not because her name is Rosemarie, and that's a wonderful name. She was a wonderful person. I know where she is because she was a believer. She was saved. Now, she prayed for me even in those times before I became a Christian. I look back at the time when I first met her many, many years ago. I was a longshoreman working on the docks of the Detroit River. Mean as a rattlesnake. I probably looked like one too. And I'd been invited to go to church by a young lady who was a secretary there. And that young lady, by the way, went on to marry a young man, and they went as missionaries to Bolivia in South America. But she invited me to that church, and it was at that church. I'd never been in a Baptist church before in my life. I was 21 years old, and I gave my heart to Christ. I said all that to say this. I know where Rosemary is because of her faith in Christ. And I know there were bad times and hard times, and I know things were happening in the world, and Korea broke out, and I was soon to be in the army, and I went into the army. Just before I went in the army, I made that decision to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. My friend, the whosoever applies to Ted Madonna, but also applies to you, whoever you are. I don't think it's an accident that you've come to be with us today. If you're not a Christian, you can go out of this place in a little while with your heart given to Christ. See, God in His great love loved us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That whosoever before me was Rosemary Gysons, that was her maiden name, Ted Madonna. Whatever your name is, whoever you are, you can be saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, Christ died on the cross that you might be saved. See, a lot of things have changed, but many things, insofar as God is concerned, have remained the same. He's a God of creation. He's the Lord of eternity. He gave His Son to die on a cross that you might be saved. See, you can believe on Him and receive Him before you leave this building. I say this also to you, that we have preached this and this has not changed. Jesus is going to come back. I don't know when. He could come today. I'm not trying to frighten you. It's a promise He made. See, when we hear the story about what the Lord has done, His work on the cross was finished that you and I might be saved. You're in the Gospel of John. Look over with me, if you will, please, to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And let me read something to you in John 19. Give you a chance to find that, if you will. John 19 and verse 30. John 19 and verse 30 are these words. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, He said, it is finished. He's on the cross. There are seven times Jesus says something from the cross. It is finished. His work on the cross. Nothing you can do. No work that you can work. No church that you can join can save you. Jesus and Him alone, He died for you. He's going to come back again. In the book of John, chapter 16, another portion of Scripture, where it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. I'm sure there are a lot of you who have troubled hearts today. They're troubled hearts. Jesus, among the last things He said from the cross, it is finished. I'm going to come back. He's going to come back. I don't know when. We preach the second coming of Christ. We're not date setters. Last words of people are important. Last words. I have in my hand here a card. It's the last card that Rosemary gave me. It was for our anniversary a year ago. We were celebrating our 61st anniversary. We married in 1952, right after I came home from the Army. We got married then in August. And she gave me this card just a short time before she died. And on the card, on the card, it says simply, "I love you." My heart simply says, "I love you. Happy anniversary." And then she inscribed these words below those others. She said, "Thank you for 61 years of love." To me, they're cherished words. They're from a person who is dearest in life to me. The Lord says, "I love you. I love you." I've had the fortune over the years of being with people when their last words were uttered. Don Cochran, one of the truly outstanding men of our church, died of leukemia. Just at 39 or 40 years of age, one of our deacons, a tremendous man of God, kind, generous, wonderful person. The last words he uttered to me was when I asked him, "What can I tell your wife?" She was sitting in the downstairs with Rosemary in the hospital, Sinai Hospital. It was about midnight. He said, "You tell her, I'm sitting on top of the world." I've never forgotten those words. Don Cochran, I heard his last words. "Tell her I'm sitting on top of the world." Where are you sitting today? Oh, I know where you're sitting physically, but how about in Christ? See, only Christ died for you. That's the message we have preached for 61 years, excuse me, for 58 years. That's the message that we have told. He died on a cross that you might be saved. You can't buy it. You can't earn your salvation. Christ died for you. We invite you to come to Christ. Jesus, in his last words, about the last of his words, when he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." A lot of people have troubled hearts. He said, "If you believe in God, believe also in me." And then he went on to say four or five verses later on, in those verses, when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me." Those are words that you can take to heart. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." It's not the church. We preach the gospel. We're not ashamed of that. We're grateful for that. We thank God for, I don't know, I'm not exactly sure, but I'm thankful that Pastor Paul in the last dozen years has probably sent through the deacons and the trustees and the Faith Promise members of the church and through the giving of missions, probably. I think I'm going to ask if I can look at the books and check it out for the last dozen years and confirm this. I think we have sent over $1.5 million to missions in the last dozen years. You do the arithmetic on that. But I can add up a few things in my head. I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but I know how to add up two and two. And my friend, we can be thankful to God for what this church has stood for and what it stands for today. If you've never given your heart to Christ, may I encourage you this morning to consider it. And Pastor Paul is going to come in a moment. Pastor Stephen is going to come up in a moment, lead us in a song. Won't you do that, brother? And Paul, and we're going to have prayer together. I'm going to stay here for a few moments before they throw me out. And I'm going to ask that you stand with me. No organist and pianist. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, Debbie, for all the years you've given us there at the instrument. Appreciate it. Thank you, Cheryl, for all the years you've given at the instruments. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your love and we thank you for your blessings. And we would pray that the grace of God would abound at this time. Bless us, we pray. And if there's someone here who has never received Christ, taken Jesus as personal Savior, Lord, that they might come this morning. Or perhaps there's someone who wants to come just for prayer. And Lord, you know You know our hearts. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.